You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have a couple topics prepared, but sometimes that doesn't prevent us from going off the beaten path and doing something that, that's out of nowhere, out of the blue, right, if you will. We culminate this two-hour journey as a meal for your mind. Thank you for tuning in for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We definitely have a lot of topics to get to for this week. But before we do that, we like to do a little intro portion, let you know what's going on in our lives. Mike, what are you up to? What's happening in the world of Michael Costanzo?
Well, before we get into that, I just have to say, Rich, it's a very special day today. It's your birthday!
That's right, it is. It is my birthday today.
Happy birthday, Rich.
Yep, why not? I'll bring up the music.
There you go.
Yeah, it's my birthday.
So, you're the ripe old age of old, right?
Yes. I like that. The age of old. 29. Yeah. I'm the crafty veteran now.
The crafty veteran?
Yeah.
Okay.
Take that.
But how's it been? How's your birthday week been?
It's been actually pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's always nice to get recognized. Everyone's been telling me happy birthday and everything, and we even shared an old clip on our Facebook page and Twitter pages where I couldn't draw, so that was, I thought that was an appropriate clip.
It's good to stay humble.
Yes. it's going pretty good. My last year of my 20s, here we go.
Yeah.
It's good.
That's good.
Let's see. The thing I want to mention is, I know. I got to throw axes over the weekend.
That seems like a dangerous proposition.
Yeah.
I don't know why that institution would hand you a bladed weapon and say, here, throw this.
I'm not very coordinated.
If they knew you, they would not have done that.
Yeah, they might have second-guessed themselves.
But how was axe throwing, for real?
It actually was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So we went to Bury the Hatchet in King of Prussia.
Ah, that's a good name.
Yeah. it's a blast. I don't know about other axe throwing places, but Bury the Hatchet, they have like an instructor that comes with you,
right,
and they teach you how to actually throw the axe before you can actually do it.
I feel like they would have to. It's a big hazard otherwise, right?
I don't know. I'm just going by my own experience.
Other establishments, they just have a box of axes at the door.
Just like, here, go for
it. Grab an axe, have at it.
Yeah. But no, this was cool. They had like an instructor show you how to do it. It's sort of like actually throwing a football, because you have to get the motion down right.
Okay.
And to me, I felt like I was really hitting the targets better when I was focusing on my follow through. Because that's something that I hate when people just even casually toss a football.
And they just sort of leave the wrist out
there. They shot put it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no. If you're going to throw a football,
bring the arm down.
Right. If you're going to throw a football at me, throw it the correct way and make sure you have that follow through.
Right.
So you get that spiral effect.
Right.
It's the same thing with the axe throwing.
You got to follow through. You got to get that spiral effect.
When I felt like I was focusing on the follow through, you have to step forward in the follow through and bring the axe down and let it go. When I was focusing on that part, I felt like I was hitting the targets better. And I even got a bullseye.
Wow.
Yeah.
From amateur to pro in one evening of axe throwing.
Hold on. I want to go pro yet. Yeah, hold on. I'm still throwing it with two hands.
Are you not supposed to?
Well,
I guess some people do one-handed.
Yeah, right. If you're actually going to move up, the next step would be one-handed.
One-handed. I don't know. See, the thing is, it looks cool, but the image of like hurling this axe over your head just sort of makes me uneasy.
Sounds a little dangerous.
It does, because
I'm in danger.
I picture myself like messing up on the follow through and like letting go like a split second too late and having it like flip back and like, you know, come close to me. I don't know. It sort of freaks me out a little bit, the idea of throwing axes. But
well, yeah, I was a little hesitant, but it's actually not as bad as you would think.
Yeah, it sounds like it was not as bad, and it sounds like you had a great time. So
yeah, it was definitely a blast.
It's not too bad.
Yeah, and also, so once you get like the hang of it down, then they show you like the different kind of games you can play. What are different? Like you can do team versus teams. You can
right.
do some other scoring ways.
So. What is the format? Is it like a bowling alley for axe throwing type deal?
Sort of, yeah.
Or is it like batting cages? Like what is it? Like, well, yeah, how does it work?
Well, yeah, there's usually like a cage or something to prevent any sort of
right.
ricochet.
Right, obviously.
So, yeah, I guess in that aspect you're looking at more of a batting cage area.
But you handle it like a bowling alley where like everybody is like together on one board? And
yeah, so... Yeah, your group stays with you in your lane, I guess, would for lack
okay.
of a better word.
Right.
Your cage.
Your cage.
Yeah.
You're all caged up together.
and you get, like, a couple throws at a time.
Okay.
So you can get, like, a rhythm going, see if you can hit the bullseye. I don't know if it's just for Bury the Hatchet or if it's, like, a standard set of rules, but there's a thing called a kill shot.
Okay.
Where there's a specific target on the board, not exactly the bullseye, but somewhere else on the board.
Right.
And if it's your last throw and you call for a bullseye, it's worth like triple the amount of points or something.
Okay.
So it was really cool to play that like aspect.
Right.
Because you would have like people that would you know, if they're a certain amount of points behind in the game, yeah, go for the kill shot.
Nice.
And. There was one game we were playing where the dude was down by 9 points, and if he hit the kill shot, it was worth 10.
Oh.
So he goes for the kill shot, and he freaking hit it,
oh.
and it was crazy. It
nice.
Was like, yeah, we
come
all,
from behind victory.
Right, we all went like crazy. You would have thought like it was the repeat of the Eagles Super Bowl win or something. It was crazy. We're all
it's
like
just as excited.
Right, it was. It actually was. It was definitely thrilling. It was a lot of fun. And, yeah, I had a blast. I would highly recommend it.
Nice. And it's right here in King of Prussia, too.
There's one right here in King of Prussia.
So close by, relatively close
yeah.
by.
They're popping up everywhere now.
Is this the new escape room?
First
escape room was, like, really big. Well, it's still really big.
Yeah.
And it popped up everywhere. But now is axe throwing going to be the next craze?
I think so for the time being, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they really, they are popping up everywhere.
You know what I've heard? Now, I've only heard of one of these, and I didn't do any research into it. But I've heard there's this new thing where you get to go into a room and just smash stuff, just break stuff.
I would believe it, yeah.
Like they give you a hammer, and like a sledgehammer, and they let you break like TVs and a whole bunch of like trash, basically.
Sure.
But it just lets you let out all that rage. I don't know.
That sounds fun.
I heard something about it. I don't know how widespread it is or, you know, what exactly the details are, but... I would like to try that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that I won't accidentally chop off a body part. I'll just be breaking stuff.
Right.
Which I'm good at.
And you may swing a sledgehammer in the wrong direction.
Yeah, but that's blunt force trauma. That's not, you know...
That's recoverable.
Yeah, exactly. 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 You take a hit to the head, you're okay. Maybe a concussion, but you'll be okay.
Right. You're just, you know, you're just, you know, like a regular NFL player.
Exactly. Exactly. So. No,
but I would believe that those are getting popular too. That sounds like fun too. Yeah, I was watching. I got bored one. It was a couple months ago. I got bored. I was watching. I think it was HGTV or something. It was something where like they had the
HGTV.
Something like, I don't know.
I don't know. Did you say HDTV?
HGT. I don't know. Whatever.
Oh, HG. Okay.
Whatever the one is where they renovate homes or something.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not very much of a handyman, but there was one where like they were renovating a house and they found out that the wiring was like ancient and the
ancient wiring.
I don't know.
Wiring hasn't been around long enough for it to be ancient.
Whatever. It was out of code.
Oh, okay. Ancient in that sense.
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm not using the correct handyman terms. I'm sorry.
No,
I'm not a handyman.
No. That was my fault because you said ancient, and I immediately thought archaeological. You know, like ancient in that type of sense. But
yeah, not very.
You just meant ancient as a synonym for really old.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, sorry. Proceed.
So, the wiring was, out of code, and, there was something wrong with the actual structure, and there was something wrong with the pipe. Like, everything was wrong with this wall.
So nothing was right with this house.
Right. So they were just like, we're going to demolish this wall and just start anew.
Okay.
And the first part of it was, literally, they just got, four sledgehammers and just tore down this wall. I was like, all right, that's something I'd like to do. Yeah, I'll smash this damn wall down.
Yeah, that
break
is...
Break the wall!
I've always wanted to try that. I know that sounds weird, but I've always wanted to try that. Just completely destroying something.
Yeah, take a sledgehammer, and down goes wall.
We used to have a little wooden playset in the backyard years ago. And I guess this was back when I was a teen. We had to take it down because it was getting old and rickety, and obviously we didn't use it anymore, being teenagers. And so we got a bunch of little hand hatchet things, and we just chopped this mofo down, just started hacking away at it. And it was the most cathartic release ever. Just going at something and just destroying it. I don't know. It's just, does that make me weird?
No,
I thought it was fun.
No, I'd like to take a sledgehammer to something. Yeah. Have some fun.
But anyway.
Yeah.
So we'll have to...
that, or we have secret anger management issues and we don't know about it yet.
That might also be it.
Yeah.
Lying deep underneath our cheery exterior.
We are pissed.
Cold-blooded killers.
We're pissed off.
That's right.
The crispy noodle strikes back.
This is the only thing that keeps us sane.
Take that, world.
All right. It's a good thing you had that outlet of the axe throwing, or else you'd be really?
Oh, God, this is the crispy noodle podcast.
Yeah, you gotta have that outlet. But I'm glad you enjoyed your birthday, Rich, and I hope you have a good rest of the week.
thank you. Yeah, I'm sure it'll be much more fun for the weekend. My birthday fell on a Tuesday. That
happens.
Right.
There's more weekdays than weekends, unfortunately.
Yeah, this is BS. Birthdays should always fall on weekends.
Or they should extend the number of days a weekend is.
Yeah, how about that?
I've always said it should be a 4-3 split. But anyway.
Anything new with you?
Nope.
Okay, all right.
I beat Bioshock. That was the only real thing of note. There was
good.
No axe throwing. It was boring for me.
Well, can I mention one more thing then?
Sure, go for it.
What is up with this weather here in Philadelphia?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is
about
crazy.
Weather.
I know. I'm probably going to get tweets. Because I think, out of the last 6 weeks, we've mentioned weather for, four of the past six episodes.
Well, when it's as
but
crazy
it's
as
true.
It is. Yeah.
This is it's ridiculous. It's going – last Friday, I was sweating my nuts off.
Yeah.
It was
– thank you for that graphic
it was
description
80,
of the weather.
It was 85 degrees Friday afternoon.
Yeah, it was ungodly.
I am not exaggerating. It was – I know. I saw it on my phone weather app.
It was.
It was 85 degrees in Conshohocken.
It was far too hot for April.
Right.
It was far too hot, period.
And then, in 48 hours, we're at 44 degrees and raining.
It was flurrying.
It was flurrying.
On Tuesday.
Yes.
Okay.
What is happening?
Yeah. I looked out the window. It was late in the day, an hour and a half, hour from quitting time. I look out. I'm like, why is it snowing in the middle of April?
Yeah.
Not that it's never happened before, but it was just 80 degrees.
Put it this way. The Pittsburgh Pirates are on the verge of canceling a baseball game because there's a threat of snow.
I believe it.
Yeah.
The way this... You can't even say this winter, because really it's the spring where all this snow has been happening.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Winter, spring.
Winter, spring.
Ring.
Ring.
This W-R-I-N-G. Ring.
This damn smarch weather.
Smart, yeah. That's right. Simpsons called it. Yeah. We're in smarch weather.
We're in smarch weather.
Yeah, so it's just ridiculous right now. Pennsylvania is going through, the weirdest spring I think we've ever been through. It's nuts.
I want to find the place in the world where it's remains between 50 and 60 degrees all year round.
Yeah.
Is there a place that has that?
No, it's Ireland? I don't know.
Then I'm moving to Ireland. I don't know.
And you just lost your rights to move to Ireland.
Oh, I thought that was a decent accent. Not really.
If the first thing you did was I don't think you're gonna fit in.
You don't know that, Rich. But anyway,
yes. So there you go. Our introduction for the podcast this week: my birthday
and weather.
Axe throwing and wacky weather. I think that pretty much sums up the
what a trio.
Yeah, what a week we've been having. But now it's time to get to the news stories at hand, and the first batch of topics revolve around sports. We call it the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Sports coming at you in your face. And for the first thing that we do in the sports sampler, we hit a couple topics in 2 minutes or less. Time for the 2 minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. Get that clock going. And away we go. Mike, what do we got?
All right. This week in the 2 minute drill, we have some football news. Starting off, though, we have a little bit of disappointing news. The Philadelphia Eagles have released newly acquired 23-year-old cornerback Daryl Worley after he was arrested early Sunday morning for being combative with police when he was found passed out in his car blocking a highway. The Eagles have a history of being strict with players for off-the-field issues, but some think that they should have gone easier on this Philadelphia area native. However, when you look at the charges, it's kind of hard to say otherwise. We have violation of the Uniform Firearms Act, driving under the influence, disorderly conduct, fighting, and related offenses in connection with an incident that occurred on Patterson Avenue. I mean, that's a hefty list of charges, Rich. What do you make of this?
Yeah, he was found with guns, and you can't mess with this. This absolutely makes no sense for the Eagles to put up with it. And unfortunately, it's just a dumb mistake by a young kid. It could cost him his NFL career.
I think it very well might. To go back to your hometown team to have something stupid like this happen, it's a heartbreaker. But you know what? It was a dumb move.
Yep.
And this is another, some people might say this is a dumb move. The Dallas Cowboys released top wide receiver Dez Bryant after the two parties could not reach an agreement about his future with the team. Dez Bryant has said the move was personal and that he would like to stay in the NFC East so he can play against his former team twice a year. Rich, what do you make of this? Are any of the other NFC East teams possible landing spots for him?
Yes, and I'm telling you, I don't know why people are overlooking it. I think it's going to be the Redskins. Lots of cap room, division rival, taking over NFC East trash. Sounds like Redskins to me.
They also need a wide receiver. It's unlikely the Giants or the Eagles will go after him because they both have wide receivers and tons of money tied up in the position.
So, Dez. Yeah,
have fun in Washington.
A lot of people are saying he's going to go to the Giants. I don't see that happening.
They already have Odell Beckham and
Brandon Marshall
on the books.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to bring in a third number one wide receiver.
Unless they cut Brandon Marshall.
They could. Very well could. What if they cut Odell Beckham?
No, they're not cutting Odell.
He's been such a problem for them.
But he is a superstar, and he's a young superstar, too.
Dez Bryant would be a problem, too, though.
Yeah.
So
that would have to be a trade.
People really saying Giants?
That's
dumb.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Your problem is not the wide receivers. It's literally everything else with the team.
So I don't think Giants are in the boat. I think the Redskins would be a perfect fit. But
wouldn't that be crazy? Friday after the podcast comes out, Dez Bryant signs with the Philadelphia Eagles, and we're like,
what?
God damn it! No, it's not happening. It's not happening.
No,
I don't want him anyway. But it's not happening.
No, we already have Alshon Jeffery. We're good.
Yeah.
We don't need that. And we have no cap room. So even if you are saying, oh, come on. No, it's not going to happen.
But you know what? Speaking of Philadelphia Eagles football and possible moves, why don't we do a little bit of a NFL draft preview?
Yeah.
Because the draft is coming up next week.
It is.
And there's a lot of buzz about, you know, what the Eagles can do with the 32nd pick. It's the first time ever we've had the 32nd pick.
Yep. As the defending Super Bowl champions.
Right. Doesn't that feel good to say?
Keep saying that.
The defending Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles will pick 32nd overall in the NFL draft in 2018.
That is correct, Mike.
Rich, I got to ask you, with that 32nd pick being the NFL Super Bowl champions, what positions do you think are likely targets for the Philadelphia Eagles? What do you see as areas that we still need to improve in?
I would say still cornerback. I'm not.
Really?
Yeah. I think they could use another back.
They didn't improve themselves last year to you?
Some did, but I still wouldn't say like it's a. I don't think other teams come in and they're afraid of our cornerbacks.
Right. And to be fair, they are still young. I know we're getting Sidney Jones back, but he's young and relatively unproven. So a little bit of depth.
Right.
Wouldn't
hurt. I would also say possibly tight end, possibly offensive line.
Okay.
Possibly running back, too, because we've seen Ajayi excel, but, you know, it would be nice to have another, you know, some more depth in that department.
The reason why I don't think running back will be a target for the Eagles at 32 is because we do have Ajayi, and he was a leading back, but we also have Clement in the wings.
Yep,
and that
is
dude
good.
Is going to be a star. You mark my words, that guy's going to be a star.
Undrafted rookie.
Yeah, but we also have Kenjon Barner, and Darren Sproles wants to come back. That is a loaded position.
Sproles, though, is only going to get this year. If he does come back, he's only going to be this year. He's 32 or 33? He's on his way out.
He is on his way out, but for this year, spend a draft pick on a running back when we already have a stable of them? It seems like a bit of a stretch. And you know my opinion of first-round running backs. I hate going running back in the first round.
I wouldn't do running back first round.
Yeah.
No.
That's like a third.
That's an experimental fourth or fifth-round pick.
Yeah, exactly. With the 32nd pick, I think they have to go offensive line or tight end. Those are two positions that are really thin right now, especially tight end. Oh, no, we did sign a tight end.
Richard Rodgers.
Yeah. I think we could still use another, though.
Yeah.
Because we made a big use of our three tight ends last year, and we want to be able to keep using those same type of strategies. But offensive line as well. I know they performed really well this past year with the injuries, but it never hurts to have depth.
Yep.
Andy Reid was always a big proponent of building up the lines. Look at how well that worked on the defensive side of the ball. So now we need to create the same type of situation on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, protect Wentz.
Exactly.
There's
a little bit of a wrinkle, though.
Uh-oh, what?
With the 32nd pick. Is that what you were going to ask about?
What was your wrinkle?
The wrinkle is that the common thread amongst experts, quote-unquote experts, is that we don't stay at 32.
Yes, this is what I was going to ask, yep.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Right. Because for the Eagles, they don't have a day two draft pick at all. We have no second or third round picks at all.
Right.
Which seems to be a glaring hole in the draft strategy.
Yeah. That's rough when you have to pick 32nd and then nothing for the next, you know, 60-some picks.
Right.
That's really tough.
So, do the Eagles make a trade down?
Honestly, probably yes.
Yeah.
At 32, it's basically a high second-round pick. I don't see them staying there just because, you know, who do you like at 32? You might as well trade down, get the value, right? Get a high second and maybe another, you know, fourth or fifth, and then try to wiggle your way up into a third-round pick. Some people are saying the Browns could be a possible trade target. There's some interesting rumors flying around right now about potential trades, and I want to get your opinion on the two that I've seen referenced by Bleeding Green Nation. The first is this. With the Bills, the Eagles send the 32nd pick and Nick Foles for the 12th overall pick and quarterback A.J. McCarron. That would be a blockbuster trade.
It would.
Does that make sense to you, though, trading all the way up to 12?
No, because to me that would have to signal that the Eagles absolutely are in love with somebody that's going to go in the first 10 picks.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're targeting.
That seems like a stretch.
Yeah, to me that seems like a stretch. And I don't think the Bills want Nick Foles. The Bills are looking for their own franchise quarterback. They're looking for their own Carson Wentz.
Well, why not Nick Foles?
Because Nick Foles is, what, 29, 30?
Yeah, he's 29.
Yeah, I mean, it's not to say that Nick Foles is past his prime or anything, but I think they're looking for their own Carson Wentz. They want somebody who's going to be drafted, who's going to improve with the team. They can grow around and have somebody that's going to last for, you know, 7, 8, 9 seasons.
Exactly.
Because they haven't had that. between Tyrod Taylor right. and
everybody that, else they had
the rotation. They're like, they're almost as bad as the Browns almost when you think about it.
Just about. They have a much better defense. That's like the only thing that keeps them in
right.
every year.
Right.
Yeah, but I agree with the Carson Wentz analogy. They do definitely need a solid quarterback. And also, when you strike gold on a rookie quarterback, you get to have that quarterback for 4 or 5 years on a rookie
cheap.
Deal.
Yes. Yeah.
And that is so
you
essential.
Won't get that with Nick Foles.
No, absolutely not. I mean, this guy's going to come in. If Sam Bradford's commanding, what, $20 million? What's Nick Foles going to command?
Yeah.
You know? So you're already hindering yourself by dumping a lot of money into a quarterback. Not that Nick Foles doesn't deserve it, but it would be a poor rebuilding strategy for the Bills.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to happen.
So this trade, probably not. But this next one might be a little more realistic. This one suggests that the Eagles would get a third-round pick and a 2019 first-round pick for their 32nd overall pick. How does that sound to you? That still doesn't fill the need of a second-round pick this draft.
Who would it be?
The website actually doesn't say.
Oh, just in general. Yeah.
Yeah, just in general, a third-round pick and a first-round pick.
Well,
2019 first-round pick.
Yeah, if you're the Eagles, you would have to take that because you know your first-round pick is going to be better the next year. You can't do any worse than the 32nd pick yeah. in the draft.
Sorry, it's the Cardinals.
Okay, specifically the Cardinals.
So it would be the 97th pick overall and a 2019 first-round pick for the 32nd. Does that make
yeah.
sense? You like that trade?
I think you would have to because you know for a fact that...
You're going to have two first-rounders next year.
Yeah, and you know that pick's going to be better than the 32nd round pick.
Yeah.
That's the last pick of the draft.
Right.
So I guess that would be a yes.
Okay.
But you really are shooting yourself in the foot, though, because then
yeah.
you're not going to have any pick until...
You don't draft until 97.
Right. So
That's the only thing that's stopping. Here's the thing. They have...
I don't know what would be the genesis of this trade. Who would actually... Like, why would this happen? Like... I don't know.
I don't know. Where do the Cardinals draft right now? What benefit would the 32nd pick be to them?
Yeah.
They draft 15th.
To me, this sounds like just shooting the crap.
So you think some writer over at ESPN was just like...
Bored.
But they're bored. Like, yeah, they're going to trade with every team. I don't think the Eagles go for this move because waiting 97 turns is way too long.
Yeah.
Way too long. Even if they, you know, don't have that day two pick, I can't. Could you imagine being an NFL executive and sitting there waiting 97 picks?
Yeah, no, that's not gonna, no.
No, I can't imagine the Eagles doing that.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is that they really don't need many pieces right now, so they can afford to wait, but
right.
not that long.
Yeah, that's not good. So I know you're Eagles biased here. You know, obviously we're a Philadelphia podcast.
Absolutely.
But with the draft, you know, being exciting and everything, do you see there being any trades with any other teams besides the Eagles? Any other shakeups, especially in the top
part of it?
Yeah.
Because
here's where I'll bring back the Bills. I think the Bills could try and make a move with one of the other teams in the top
yeah.
six or so.
So the Bills are currently at number 12.
Right. They're still not really in the mix.
Right. And getting rid of Tyrod Taylor, they don't have any answer at quarterback. You know they're not going to stick with Peterson. So they're going to...
No, he threw five interceptions
yeah.
and a half.
So they're going to want to get as close as possible to the top five as they can. Possible trade candidate, because it wouldn't be that big a loss for them, the Browns at number 4. Browns drop down 8 spots to 12. They still have the first overall. That gives them 2 in the top third of the draft. And the Bills can move up into the top 5 to potentially grab one of those top 3 quarterbacks that they're talking about. What do you think about that? Or do you think the Browns really want the 2 top 5 picks?
Yeah, I mean, the Browns just need so much help at every spot that if you get...
Well, think
if
of the,
you
the,
get
if
a quarterback...
If the Browns need help, they swap the 4th and the 12th, and the Bills also have to give them something else.
Yeah.
So you get more draft stock.
Right. But I feel like this is one of the years that the Browns are trying to cash in.
Okay.
Because they have the 1st and the 4th pick. They want to get to
So
elite talent.
That's a no-go then.
I don't unless they offer a deal that's ridiculous. So, you know, something that's like akin to
right.
The Carson Wentz trade or something.
Right. So okay, so here's a follow-up. So who do you see them trading with? Because all these teams are very needy. The Giants, the Jets.
I could see the Broncos being...
The Broncos?
Yeah. Especially with Elway. I think Elway's up to something. He seems like a guy that would be willing to be on the horn. You know? I think they're sitting at the sixth pick, right? If I remember correctly.
Fifth, actually.
Fifth.
So it's...
You know, they're...
It's perfect striking distance for a quarterback.
Right. And, you know, to me, that sounds like somewhere in the middle where they're like, you know, we could... try and draft a new quarterback, but maybe not. You know, they're in that perfect, like, wishy-washy.
Right.
They could go, you know, they're 50-50. And all it would take would be just a call to the Bills, be like, oh, you know what, I think we're going to take that quarterback after all, you know?
Right. But, yeah, because after them, you're pretty much set for quarterbacks. So the Broncos really do have a lot of bargaining power there.
Yeah.
Because after the Broncos... Colts, Bucks, Bears, Raiders, they all have quarterbacks.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily need to strike at a quarterback, but the Bills desperately do.
Right.
So the Broncos could definitely milk them for a little bit extra for that fifth pick.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
I like that thinking. Yeah.
So that's what I would go with. Any other NFL draft news? We got to start to wrap this up.
I will say this. The Eagles will probably trade down. I don't want them to, though, because yeah. I want... them to be announced as the Super Bowl winning champion in Dallas. You have to remember that. It's in Dallas this year.
Yes, I want...
In Jerryland.
I want whoever is the announcer to say the defending Super Bowl champions, the Philadelphia Eagles, at number whatever, pick whatever.
It's going to be so good.
And they have to shout it. I want everybody in that stadium to hear it.
Yes.
Take that, freaking Jerry Jones.
Oh, I can't wait.
MF-er.
Oh my gosh, you know what else I just realized? Sorry, this is just a tangent. How do the Patriots have two first-round picks this year?
Because they traded away Brandon Cooks.
Oh, that's right.
They have two second-rounders, I think, too.
Those bastards.
Yeah, I don't know.
How is that even
Stop
fair?
Stop trading with the Patriots.
How is that even
everybody,
fair?
Everybody needs to go on alert. Stop trading with the Patriots.
God.
I don't trust Bill Belichick. He's up to something.
He's crafty.
Actually, I texted you about this. I think they're going to screw over the Jets. I don't know how.
The Patriots.
I don't know how exactly. Mark my words. Something is going
to
happen.
How? How are they going
to? I don't know.
They have to trade all the way up to first or second to screw over the Jets.
They have two first-round picks and two second-round picks.
So they package the 23rd and the 31st and jump all the way up to two.
I don't know.
And draft a quarterback. They need a quarterback of the future.
It would not surprise me if something, I don't know, screwy like that happens because he hates the Jets.
Just to stick it to him.
He hates the Jets ever since they screwed him over with the Bill Parcells thing in the 90s and 2000. Yeah. It would not surprise me if he manipulates and finds a way to screw over the Jets in this
I like it.
Draft.
It has to happen.
Anyway, before we wrap up the sports sampler, I just want to just briefly go over the Flyers are in the playoffs. They're hanging in there. And the Sixers are in the playoffs as well. They have a game tonight.
That's right.
The series is tied at one apiece. Between the two, it looks like the Sixers have a better shot, I think, at winning their series. But, you know, still rooting for the Flyers.
Of course.
But the Sixers, I mean, the Sixers are in kind of like a very good spot where they're going to get a star player back, Joel Embiid. And a lot of the other teams in the Eastern Conference have been suffering through injuries.
Right.
So
a lot of people are saying this: the Sixers could make a deep run here.
How crazy would it be if the Sixers make a run?
It would be crazy, but also not entirely unexpected because this is the highest they've been ranked since 2001.
Yeah.
When they made the finals.
That's right.
And I'll say this. They absolutely demolished the Heat in game one.
In the game one, yeah.
130 to 103. I mean, that's pretty intense for a playoff game, right?
It is. But when the Sixers go cold, that's when you hit game two.
Well, they only lost by 10.
No.
I mean, I don't know how it actually happened on the court, you know, whether it was good or
bad.
They
fell behind early. And even though they did battle their way back, and that was nice, it still just seemed like it was out of reach.
Okay.
Dwayne Wade actually had a really good game that night.
Is he still with the Heat?
Yes, he is.
Didn't he?
He got traded around and he ended up back with the Heat. Only in the NBA.
Basketball's crazy.
It is.
Yeah, because didn't he go to the Cavaliers?
Yeah, there was like a whole loop-de-loop he went around.
Oh, my gosh.
Still ended up back with the Heat. Anyway, we just want to say, go Flyers, go Sixers. Hopefully they make some – hopefully they both make deep runs. I would really like to see both of them go far in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But we will cover them as it happens. Unfortunately, it seems like the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs don't really work out with our schedule.
It's tough to cover series type playoffs on a weekly podcast.
Yeah. Damn it. That's why everything should be like football.
See, yes, you've finally come around to my way of thinking.
I know you would like that final statement.
Absolutely.
But there you go. Let's go Sixers, let's go Flyers, and let's go the Eagles in the NFL draft coming up. Everything is very exciting right now in Philadelphia sports. But for now, that will wrap up the sports sampler. But don't go anywhere, because coming next, we've got the entertainment entree and then the non-fortune cookie odd news. We still got plenty of shows still to come. We'll be right back.
Hey, what do you hear? What do you say? This is Vic DiBattista, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling. We are done the sports sampler. Let's go all Philadelphia teams. It's a very exciting atmosphere right now.
Yeah,
with the Sixers in the playoffs, Flyers in the playoffs, Eagles getting ready for the draft, Phillies have started. It's crazy. All the big four sports are going.
2018 is truly a year to remember.
That's right. But we are now moving away from the sports realm, and we're moving up next to the second part of the show, where we've got news all around in TV and video games and celebrities all around. Folks, it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard. Rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You're the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Do you barbecue? Do you shoot off fireworks? Do you do any of the stuff that we do on the 4th of July?
Excuse me?
Has no one invited you over for a proper 4th of July party?
Well, they have, yes.
They have.
I don't like the sauce.
You don't like what sauce?
This barbecue sauce. It's sticky.
You don't like any barbecue sauce?
No.
No? Wow. Well, that's weird.
You think?
Do you like ketchup or do you like...
No, that's even
You don't
worse.
Like ketchup. Do you like mustard?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, all right. Yeah, well, why not a nice hot dog with some mustard on it?
I don't like hot dogs.
You don't like hot dogs?
Oh, my gosh. I think I now have a problem now with this actor here.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
I think your dad might have a problem with them too now.
Yeah, who was this?
Can you take a guess?
He didn't do a lot of talking.
Right.
But
very, very reserved, very quiet.
He sounds like a villain. He had an accent. Was that a German accent?
Yes.
Is this Christoph Waltz?
It is. All right. My God. Yes. Good one. What a shocker.
Yeah, you got it
right. I was
like, I don't know who else has a German accent who would appear on a late night show.
So it was Christoph Waltz, and he apparently went on Jimmy Kimmel for a nice little interview segment.
Okay.
But unfortunately for me, he just lost massive, massive points.
Yeah, he doesn't like barbecue sauce.
He doesn't like barbecue sauce, and then doubles down and says he doesn't like ketchup either.
Yeah, well, what is
that's
he...
like my number one and number two picks.
What does he put on food then?
I guess mustard. He said he likes mustard.
Just on everything?
Everything, yeah. Ugh.
Like, what do you dip French fries in?
Mustard? Yeah.
I know in some places in Europe they use mayo for French fries, which actually isn't that bad. But, I mean, ketchup is like the best ever.
Yeah.
And barbecue sauce is pretty damn good, too.
Yeah. In my opinion, it's the best.
I will say this. I do get his point about it being sticky. Because if you're at a barbecue and it's outside and you're trying to eat barbecue stuff with, like, your hands, it does get very messy.
You're supposed to get messy. It's barbecue.
I understand that.
Be a man, Mike.
Be a man and get your hands dirty.
Yeah. That's what it's about.
Be a real American.
Right.
You get your hands dirty.
You slather yourself up in that barbecue sauce, boy.
just head to toe in barbecue sauce.
Yeah, that's what my daddy taught me.
That's what my daddy and my daddy's daddy.
Right.
We come from a long line of barbecue slatherers.
Right. My father did it. My father's father did it. His father.
But the point is that there's generations of barbecue sauce and ketchup eating people in this country.
Yes.
And you cannot besmirch the good name of barbecue sauce and ketchup.
How dare you, Christoph Waltz? I'm very disappointed. To me now, he is a villain.
And he doesn't even like hot dogs.
Yeah.
So what does he eat at a barbecue?
Right,
No barbecue sauce, no ketchup, no hot dogs.
I think by this logic we can revoke his citizenship.
is that the official word?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I'm very disappointed in this.
I still like Christoph Waltz, though. That's the problem.
But
I don't want to get rid of him completely, but I feel like we should...
Just in the summer.
Just around
because
the 4th of July.
Obviously, he's going to be a killjoy at the barbecue.
Yeah.
So yeah, what will he eat at a barbecue then? All the food is gone.
Hamburgers. That's a German thing. But no condiments on it.
Yeah.
Except for mustard.
Yeah.
I'm not even a fan of mustard. I'm not a huge fan of mustard.
There are some things it goes well on.
Such as?
But, let's see.
Everybody likes it on pretzels, but
I like honey mustard on chicken.
Okay.
I think that's pretty good.
Okay. Yeah. I get that.
What is it? What's the thing Gordon Ramsay makes? He puts mustard on it. Wellington. Beef Wellington.
Oh, beef Wellington.
Yep, you put mustard
on
that.
Does he put mustard in that?
You put English mustard.
In the pastry crust, right?
Yeah, you put the English mustard on that.
What is English mustard?
Very spicy mustard, I think.
Now, I had beef Wellington at a Ramsay restaurant in AC.
Did you taste some mustard?
I didn't taste any mustard.
Okay, well,
maybe that
cooked.
Chef messed it up. I don't know.
It's wrong!
It's wrong.
Yeah, you need to do your best.
Where's the lamb sauce?
Where's the lamb sauce?
That's one of my favorite clips ever.
Just the cadence of it. Where's the lamb sauce?
Where's the lamb sauce?
Sauce!
That's a great clip.
Very intense.
Yeah.
Where's the lamb sauce?
Yes.
But, yeah, Christoph Waltz, man, he's got to get with it.
I'm very disappointed in Christoph Waltz.
Same.
He is now truly a Bond villain now. He is now my opposite.
That's all it takes to be a Bond villain is for somebody not to like barbecue sauce.
By God, how dare this person? We must fight him tooth and nail.
Tooth and nail.
Yes.
Because of barbecue sauce.
He won't, yeah. That's
a good point you raised. Like, how does he eat ribs? Does he just not eat ribs? That's really sad to think.
Do you have to do like a dry rub?
I mean, dry rubs are good. I like dry rubs. I know you like the actual sauce.
Yeah,
sauce.
I like the sauce. Yeah. I'm very disappointed. This whole conversation, as Herm Edwards, as the great Herm Edwards says, this whole conversation bothers me.
There you go.
So, Christoph Waltz, I don't know what you're doing. You don't like hot dogs. You don't like...
He's being his crazy German self.
Right. You don't like barbecue sauce. Mr. Costanzo!
Yo, how you doing?
Christoph Waltz doesn't like hot dogs.
What? He doesn't like hot dogs.
Oh, maybe he likes sausages.
What would you say to him?
He's not American.
Well, yeah, because he's German.
There you go. Yeah, you got the official word there.
I don't even think he knows who Christoph Waltz is, Rich.
Well, you know. At least we got her.
Yeah, he's not American.
We got our field reporting over here.
He's the hot dog and sausage expert.
That's right.
In case people didn't know. He's not American.
Not American. All right, there you go.
Very blunt to the point.
Thank you, Frank Costanzo. That made my birthday.
There you go. That was his birthday gift to you.
Just walking by the podcast, bam, you're going to be on, whether you like it or not.
That's how 50% of his appearances are. It's just him accidentally walking by, and you're like, talk to me.
All right. Well, there you go. Man on the street, Frank Costanzo, with the hard-hitting opinions. And for me, yeah, Christoph Waltz, you've let me down. Unless you're actually going to be like a Bond, unless you're going to be like my own personal Bond villain.
He was a Bond villain.
He was a Bond
though.
Villain, but he was, but I want him to be now like my own personal Bond villain. Like he's going to show up somewhere.
And always try like, to foil your barbecue plans?
Right.
Hello, Mr. Liebig. We meet again. You and your barbecue sauce.
I see you have the barbecue sauce, yes.
Have no more.
Well, I'll be taking that barbecue sauce from you.
Yeah, something like that. Right, something like that. But obviously, anything barbecue sauce, I must be informed. And I'm definitely disappointed, Christoph Waltz. All right, let's move on to the next part of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up in movies, TV, and video games, folks. It's time for Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
You represent what I detest. You're a punk walking in the back door with your hand open looking for a free lick.
Yeah, all right, Christoph Waltz, you now represent everything I despise.
Well, Rich.
And don't you dare think you're going to get a free lick from me.
Well.
Or if you're going to get a free lick, it's going to be covered in barbecue sauce.
Yes, exactly. You're going to smother your hand with barbecue sauce and go, go ahead, Waltz, lick it.
That's your free lick.
Lick it good. Well, you know what,
yeah,
Rich?
This really could get R-rated very
fast. We're getting way off track here, so I'm going to rein it back in and tell you, get ready to get disappointed all over again, because this week in entertainment, in theaters, we just have the dumbest sounding movie ever. I'm not making this up, people. Duck, Duck, Goose premieres this week.
What?
This is a movie about a bachelor goose who must lead two ducklings south.
You are tearing me apart, Lisa!
Yeah.
Is this the plot?
That's it. That's literally it. This film is about a gander who befriends two lost ducklings and journeys south with them.
Okay.
And
fantastic.
I don't know where this came from, why this is a thing. It has some big name actors in it. Jim Gaffigan, Zendaya, Carl Reiner, Greg Proops, Stephen Fry, Craig Ferguson.
Oh, good for you.
But yeah, go check out Duck, Duck, Goose.
That's all we can say.
Or don't. Or maybe hold out for, you know, Ring Around the Rosie or Hokey Pokey.
Oh, yeah.
Some other.
Oh, why did they name hopscotch.
It Duck, Duck, Hopscotch? Yeah, right. The hard-hitting drama, Hopscotch.
Jump. Jump. Stop. Jump. Jump. Weep.
Weep.
Hopscotch coming to theaters.
At the end of every hopscotch is a hop weep. That was dumb. Moving along quickly, in television, Westworld returns to HBO on Sunday, April 22nd for its second season. The series, penned by Jonathan Nolan and based on a Michael Crichton novel, centers on a lifelike Wild West theme park populated by robots in which people can live out their wildest fantasies free of any consequences. This
is why there's no movies coming out.
Yeah.
I think everybody's going to binge watch Westworld on their friends' HBO subscriptions.
Absolutely, yeah. This week is definitely a week for television and not for theaters. Westworld was such a phenomenal hit last year. The show gained widespread fan fame and critical recognition for its heady plot, great twists, unique concept, and really great acting and writing. The second season introduces a completely new setting, apparently, so fans will get a fresh new world to enjoy. I gotta say, I only watched like half of season one. So I really got to go back.
Yeah, you better
rewatch the whole thing.
You better take care of that, man, because
I'm desperately trying to avoid spoilers.
Yeah, the first season is crazy and has great plot twists in it. Definitely, highly recommend it.
Yeah, and it's one of the better shows. 94 on Rotten Tomatoes. So everybody, go check it out.
Yes. So, yep, I agree. Go make sure you check that out.
Absolutely. And finally, closing out this week in video games, one of the biggest video game releases of 2018, God of War releases exclusively on PlayStation 4 Friday, April 20th. This marks the fifth console release and a reimagining of sorts for the franchise, which made its name on over-the-top violent action. This time around, players will see a more mature and thoughtful experience instead focusing on Kratos' relationship with his son in a semi-open world adventure. It's already killing it with reviewers, earning a 95 Metacritic score from 90 reviewers. People are praising its ambitious and mature story, the setting, the nuanced and visceral combat. It really seems like there's nothing wrong with this game, and I don't say that lightly. I mean, literally, there are, at the time of this recording, zero mixed or negative reviews on Metacritic. That is outstanding.
This is definitely a highly anticipated follow-up to one of the best franchises in video game history. I'm looking forward to this. I mean, the original God of War trilogy was such a great story. I don't know how they're going to top it. But look, it sounds like they have, based on all these reviews.
It's taken a lot of great elements from other games. It's taking that personal journey from Last of Us. It's taking the semi-open world from the Tomb Raider games. And it's just bringing it all together with really meaty combat and a really wonderfully constructed world. I mean, I've read a few reviews, and they've had nothing bad to say about it. So I'm really looking forward to this. It is a big, big game that cannot be missed. Go check out God of War on PlayStation 4 coming out Friday. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that segment this week in entertainment. Man, yeah, I think this is why we're lacking in the movies department for this week. I mean, you got Westworld coming back, God of War, a huge video game premiere Friday. And then on top of that, if you missed last week, you got to catch up on The Walking Dead season finale, which we are now going to talk about.
Wow.
Yeah, we have The Walking Dead season 8 finale, the conclusion to the all-out war storyline.
Yep.
Rick versus Negan finally settled. You know what? Should we go into spoiler territory?
I think we absolutely need to put up a spoiler warning because it's kind of hard to avoid it given the events. It's a spoiler! It's a spoiler! Don't listen! Go away!
All right, so we both watched the season 8 finale. Where should we start?
How about just general reactions? Did you like it? Was it a good finale?
I'm going to say yes and no. Here's my one thing. It felt really short. Is it just me?
No, it felt short.
Like, for it being such a huge buildup.
Some of the other episodes this season were pretty lengthy.
Yeah.
So I was kind of surprised. It was like only an hour and 10. I thought we were going to get at least an hour and a half, 2 hours even. But yeah, it felt short.
No, but even like the actual battle itself was...
It was over very...
It was like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Very, very, very disappointed in that.
Yeah. I agree. I think it was much like this whole season, very hit and miss. And I think a lot of that is due to the awkward pacing of things. You know, in their world, this is the thing that always bugs me. In their world, All Out War took about, I think it's something like a month or two. We've been watching this conflict for 2.5 seasons.
Yeah.
So you have this huge disparity between what's happening in their world and what's happening in our world where, you know, like, oh, why are they still acting like this? Well, it's only been a week for them, you know, but it's dragged out over half a season for us.
Right.
So the pacing is all awkward. The timing of events is kind of awkward. And that really showed up in the finale because, and I made this comment leading up to it, But the events that happened that you just witnessed, one, don't occur in the comics. And two, the final moment between Rick and Negan actually occurred about five episodes ago when they had the nighttime battle at the Hilltop. That is when the conflict was supposed to end. So they added 4 to 5 episodes of filler.
Yeah, just to make sure they got to season 8.
Yeah. Chief among them, Oceanside. Like, what was the point?
Yeah, they didn't really have a role.
What was the point? The heapsters, the trash people. What was the point? You come up with these plot lines. Oh, there's a helicopter. Oh, she's secretly like a secret person thing.
They never explained the helicopter.
They never explained it. And then the end, she's like, my name is Anne. I'm going to go live with you guys. Goodbye. Credits roll. Like, did it not seem
all those extra,
very awkwardly paced all and
those
timed?
Extra groups, yeah, felt like it wasn't needed in the end.
Yeah. A lot of extraneous material. Now, saying that, though, there were a couple of really, really big moments in this episode. Three big moments that I've identified really stood out to fans, and I want to get your thoughts and opinions on them, and we could talk about them a little bit. The first big moment is, of course, Eugene Sabotage.
Yes.
What did you like? What did you think about that?
I thought that was interesting to level the playing field, but it seems very illogical.
Did it seem overly convenient?
Yeah, because I highly doubt nobody tested their weapons. Somebody should have.
Right. Nobody fired a single bullet leading up to that. They didn't run into any walkers as they were treading across miles of countryside.
Yeah.
With that giant horde apparently right around the corner.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Seemed very, very strange. Seemed very strange given his trajectory as a character as well. I mean, maybe, you know, it was all for show how evil he was getting. I don't think or maybe he is the type of character that puts on a show like that. So here's the thing, he's deviated so far from the comics that he's like laughably different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but that's something else too. You can't really go by the comics.
No, you can't at all.
At this point, the comics and the TV show are two very separate entities.
Yeah, it is tough. I didn't mind so much before reading the comics, and now I sound like a pretentious comic reader. It's like, oh, it doesn't match the comics. But it's just interesting to see how far they deviate, and it's interesting that the things that people have questions and concerns about are, oddly enough, related to those deviations. When I read reviews where people are like, oh, I don't know why Rick did this or why Negan did this, and I'm like, well, it's because they're going off script, you know? And not that I want them to follow the comics. I enjoyed this show for 7 years before the comics. But it's interesting that there's this parallel, I can't think of the term, but there's this parallel between where they go off script and the parts that are lacking. But Eugene Sabotage was, I mean, I think everybody sort of knew that something was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because you can't just have a whole army with all these guns and, you know, not have anything else to level the playing field after they wiped out the trash people.
Right. You knew that there was going to be some sort of way to
a
get
wild
Rick's,
card.
Yeah, Rick's group to be on even keel with Negan's group.
Yeah. But everybody knows that the big conflict everybody was waiting for was Rick versus Negan. And Rich, as a big fan of Negan, I have to hear, I've been waiting to ask you what you thought about how they ended the all-out war arc.
So
Rick and Negan's confrontation.
Right.
Should we describe what happened?
I knew Negan was going to come to an end eventually. Rick has to prevail. There's no way they're going to kill Rick off.
Right.
So I was expecting it for a while. But they didn't kill Negan off.
Right.
They keep him alive because Rick slashes his throat. But then, I guess to the guilt of Carl's letters or something to that, he feels bad and wants to set a new standard for civilization in the future.
Yeah.
So he doesn't outright kill Negan. Instead, he saves Negan. They have him bandaged his throat up. They make him better, but then they restrain him to a bed, and eventually they're going to put him into a cell because they said he's going to rot in a cell. I think that works out well because that way you still get the personality of Negan occasionally, but the storyline officially comes to an end.
Right.
Negan can't be the bad guy anymore.
Did you, as a Negan fan, did you enjoy that ending? Did you
yeah.
Did you feel it was fitting or earned?
Yeah, I think that was fine. I think it works out that you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
Like you said last week on the podcast, Negan has been around in some sort of entity for 2.5 seasons.
That's a long time.
You knew at some point, yeah, his reign was going to come to an end.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's good that he'll still be around somehow. They're not completely getting rid of him.
Yeah. So I'll say this about the ending, that I was really excited to see that they pretty much followed how it happened in the comics. That is something that actually happened, where Rick slits his throat, but is able to save him. And in the comics, it was much more deliberate. I think this time it made it seem like he did it and he wasn't planning on saving him. Then he saw everybody watching him and realized that, you know, the saviors who surrendered and his own people are watching him, looking to him as an example, that right now, at the pinnacle of this conflict, it sets the tone for what happens after. And Rick says something to the effect of, what does he say? There has to be something after.
Yeah.
Right? If he outright kills Negan, that doesn't really end the conflict, because the saviors will have lost their leader and seen that Rick will not show mercy. And so why should they surrender? Why wouldn't they keep fighting if he's just going to execute them like he did Negan? So when faced with that option, I think he realizes that in order to truly end this conflict, sort of what Carl was saying, you have to find a way to move forward. And that's really the next leg of this story, is that for a long time you have, you know, the survivors versus the zombies, then the survivors versus each other. But as you continue fighting, you have to find a way to try to move past that, or else you'll all just end up dead.
Yeah.
And that was the significance of seeing the Horde there in the background, that if they keep going this path, everything they fought to survive against will mean nothing. You know, I know Maggie was upset that Rick didn't kill Negan. However, by showing him mercy, you might avoid a future Glenn incident.
Right.
Right. Before, their world was very small, but as the world continues to grow and involve all these different communities, you have to find a way to work together. It's a really cool turning point in the comics, and I hope that it follows a similar path in the show. So, long story short, I enjoyed the ending.
Yes.
I thought it was fitting. I thought it was a great turn. I think it was a change that Rick's character needed to make, or else it was just going to be the same one note over and over again.
Right.
So I didn't mind that ending. I enjoyed it.
Now let's get to Maggie.
Yeah. I mentioned Maggie. There was a very...
Because Maggie is apparently still pissed off that Rick didn't kill Negan.
And
so much so that she's planning to form her own rebellion, I guess, or something like that,
so,
where she can kill Negan.
Yeah. So this is the third big moment that we have here. Maggie's plot to kill Negan, overthrow Rick, I'm not sure.
Yeah, they're not very clear with what she was talking about.
So, remember when I said that the confusing moments are where they go off script?
This is one of them.
This is one of them.
Okay.
So, I'll just say that. This absolutely does not happen in the way they portrayed it. How did you read that scene? Because apparently people are taking it a few different ways.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea. Because she just says, Rick was wrong. We need to correct this mistake.
Right.
And it's like, are you talking about...
What does that mean?
Right. Are you talking about killing Negan? Or are you talking about Rick is wrong in everything and
right.
Screw him. We're gonna be the true leaders.
And specifically, she says something like, Rick, Michonne, we're going to show them. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Are you drawing a line and picking teams now?
And also, when she's saying this, she's saying this to a character named Jesus.
Right.
Who all along has been advocating for peace.
Right.
That does not make any sense.
Yeah. Bringing Jesus into this coup type plot was weird. But also, the other really weird moment is when Daryl steps out of the shadows like some movie villain.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah. You know, he's basically like, you know, like, where did you come from? You just set Dwight free. And now you're like, we need to kill everyone. Like, it was just a very strange scene.
I have to imagine.
The framing, the lighting, the sound all made it seem like people are throwing around the term, you know, like Maggie Corleone.
Yeah. Yeah, she's literally sitting in the chair with the shadows.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you like this direction, or do you like this potential direction, or does this... I think it's safe to say we both sort of think this is just completely out of character and random.
To me, this sounded like the producers wanted to have some sort of cliffhanger for you for season nine, and this was like the best they came up with, and it doesn't fit at all.
There are at least two better cliffhangers that I could have come up with.
Yeah.
I won't say them because I don't want to spoil it, but I really thought they were going to show a specific scene, and they didn't.
Right. Maggie's anger goes up to as far as she should want to kill Negan. I get that. But outright overthrowing Rick or whatever the hell she said with Rick and Michonne, like, Like,
it
no.
It was very
weird. You guys have been, like, best friends this whole time.
Since season two.
Yeah.
And Daryl since the beginning. And Jesus has always been nonviolent.
Right. It doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. And you know what? Our sentiments are echoed online. Fans were confused. Some thought, oh, no, she definitely means that they're just going to try and, you know, explain to Rick he was wrong and convince him to kill Negan or kill Negan themselves. Other people thought that they were going to overthrow Rick. Some people thought they were going to outright kill Rick and Michonne. Norman Reedus went on Twitter and he's like, we're not going to kill Rick. But I think it's very telling that, you know, there's a good ambiguity and there's a bad ambiguity.
And this was a bad
This was a bad ambiguity. This was, we're just going to throw something out there to piss people off.
Right.
And
here's a meatball.
catch, you know.
Yeah, good luck.
Like the jackpot game, you just toss something up and let everybody fight over it. Yeah, in the comics, Maggie's mad, but she doesn't come off as wanting to overthrow Rick and kill everyone mad.
Right. That's too far.
It's more of like a bitter, sullen, sort of self-contained rage, and she uses that to better the Hilltop as her own independent settlement. So maybe that's what they're talking about. Maybe they branch off from Alexandria and they become their own entity. I don't know. But the scene was very awkward to me.
Yeah. But nevertheless, that's... you know, so that's the way the season ended, and that's how we reacted to it. Personally, I'm a little bit sad that the reign of Negan is over. I knew it was coming, but, you know,
I can say this now without it being a spoiler. Negan stays around.
He stays around, but he's not going to be in a position of power.
He's a player. Well, he's definitely a player. This is one of the reasons why people were upset that Carl was killed off. Because Carl comes back into the fold in Negan's story. And so people are like, oh, how are they going to do it? But Negan sticks around, Rich. Don't you worry.
Okay, good. Because
got lots of great lines.
Right,
and,
because yeah. I love my Negan clip. So as long as they still do that, I'll be happy.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
This is the kind of thing that just tickles my balls.
You guys, look at my dirty girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gotta have my Negan clips.
Oh, yeah. He's still a great character.
So. And also, another character that we lost was Simon. Stephen Ogg.
Yeah.
Who was Trevor in Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. He was great.
I'm disappointed that he got killed off as well.
I mean, he needed to.
He needed to.
It made sense. But
it's still just like he's such a great actor.
He was a very fun character.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the way he did... I don't know why.
He's got those crazy eyes.
Yeah, he just looks like a crazy person. He has, like, the perfect face for, like, a crazy person.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. One of my favorite things that he said over the past season or two was when he's talking to the doctor and he's trying to tell him he has to go to the Savior's compound. And he's like, yeah, you'll have fun. We've got electricity, running water, gelato. Do you remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
I don't know.
Gelato.
Right. He says it so weird. He's like, gelato. Like, I never... The emphasis is really on the gelato.
You know what, though? That fits his character, though. I could see him doing something like that.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I'm sad that we lost him in this past season. And, of course, we lost Carl this past season, too.
Yeah.
Lest we forget, there's a major original character that went. But you know what? I gotta say that I respect that, because at least makes Walking Dead still you want to watch it because you don't know who's gonna get killed off.
Exactly, exactly. And as somebody who's recently taken up reading the comics, you know, I know that anything could change.
Yeah.
You know, they stretched out this conflict much longer than it happened in the comics, and they had some interesting moments. So I don't know how, you know, how anything might happen from here on out.
Yeah.
Another original character leaving, though, Morgan is going to Fear the Walking Dead.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's leaving,
The series.
He didn't get killed off.
No, he didn't get killed off.
So they can always bring him back.
Yeah.
But there you go. A little bit of a in memoriam for those characters that left in the past season. But unfortunately, I want to move from death of fictional characters to death of a real celebrity. And that is one of, I think, one of the most iconic drill instructors ever to grace the screen. Arlie Ermey passed away at the age of 74 from complications of pneumonia. His big role was Full Metal Jacket,
yeah.
Gunnery Sergeant Hartman.
Yep.
Literally, he's the star of the first half of that movie.
Oh, absolutely. He's the only reason you watch the first half of that movie.
Yeah, just the ridiculous insults and the demands that he asks from his troops when he's training them. We can't play any of the clips because
I was going to say we're trying to get the show
right. We're trying to get back to a clean rating, so we have to do a clean podcast for this week.
Yeah.
So we can't play any of those clips.
Absolutely. Go look up his opening monologue though to Full Metal Jacket. We can't play it here because it would just be one long continuous beep. Yeah. But it is really, I mean, it's the masterpiece.
Yeah.
It's very offensive, very obscene, but it is just the way he delivers the lines and.
Well, it works because he was a drill instructor.
Yeah.
You know, he was brought in as supposed to be an advisor,
right,
to someone who was going to be the drill sergeant, and Stanley Kubrick was just like, you know what, he's so good, just throw him in there.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that is one of those tall tales about that is that he actually had to tone down what he was saying.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how true that is, but to think that there could be something more offensive and intimidating is just... it's just mind-blowing.
Yeah.
What a performance, though.
Yeah. If you have not seen Full Metal Jacket, you have to at least see it once.
Yeah.
It's a war movie, so it's probably one of those things you're only going to want to watch once.
Right.
And just stomach it and just, like, enjoy it and then just, like, have that in your head for forever. But the first half of that movie when the trainees are going to his training camp, oh, my God, his boot camp is... just iconic. You have to go check that out. But he's had other roles too. I know for you, Mike, Toy Story. That's a big one for you.
He did the voice of, I think it was the character, the little army
all
men.
I think all the
little green army men. Mm-hmm. Which is really funny when you think about it, and it shows that, you know, he did have a sense of humor, because on one hand he's doing Full Metal Jacket, and on the other he's voicing little plastic green army men in an animated film. You know, I love that range, that he can do all that, you know?
Well, to go more into comedy, one of my favorite movies is Saving Silverman, and he plays a character that's just known as the coach, and he's just like this old football coach that happens to be following the two students as they progress into adulthood, and they're trying to save their friend from marrying someone who they feel isn't the right person for them. There's just so many great scenes with him in it. For example, I got a couple of them loaded up.
Okay.
For example, the life lesson that he gives to the football players in the locker room.
Number one, stay away from women. All they want from you is your man juice.
I don't know why, but that just makes me laugh all the time. I just love how dead serious he is.
Now you just want your man juice.
Yep. And then here's another scene. The two main characters, Jack Black and Steve Zahn, have to try and get rid of the coach from staying at their place.
Okay.
Because they decide to kidnap the girl that's trying to marry their friend that they feel like isn't the best fit for him.
Right.
So they have her hiding in the basement. So that's okay. Why the coach can't stay and find out. the coach suggested, why don't you just kill her?
Of course.
Right. Yeah. You know, a reasonable.
Of course.
Know,
logical,
right, logic,
reasonable. Yeah.
Take her out. So they have to come up with a lie, and this is what they come up with.
Yeah. Okay. We'll tell them we got ghosts.
Well, boys, what's for supper?
Listen, coach.
We have ghosts.
What? We were thinking that maybe you staying here is not such a great idea.
Yeah. Nonsense. It'll give us a chance to get to know one another again. By the way, did you boys take care of that bitch that was going to marry Silverman?
Yeah. We snuffed that bitch, just like you said.
Good. How'd you do it?
We...
Ate her.
You ate her?
Yeah. We ate her.
Alive.
My hat goes off to you. You boys are smart. That's the perfect crime.
Just so matter-of-fact. Wow, yeah. Pretty good.
It's that matter-of-fact tone. That's the perfect crime. Like he knows that.
Yeah.
You
know? Like he's discussing like football. It's just
right,
no big deal.
Exactly.
That's
it's just a matter of fact. It's yeah. just an objective fact.
Yeah.
That was great.
But yeah, so that's one of my favorite movies. If you haven't seen Saving Silverman, that's another one you got to see. And yeah, he's had some other roles as well. He was also a small role as a police captain in Seven.
Okay.
So another one that you might not have remembered. He was in the background in that one as well. So.
He's done a lot of shows and movies.
Yeah, so it, definitely an iconic actor. And as far as I'm concerned, if you want to think Army Man, you think of Arlie Ermey.
Yeah.
What better person?
Right.
He actually was a drill instructor.
He was a drill sergeant during the Vietnam War. And, you know, whether it's in front of the camera or behind the camera doing consulting work, because I know he consulted on a lot of big military video games and movies and TV shows, he's had a huge impact on war multimedia.
Yeah, that's right. He had a segment on the History Channel.
Yeah, he had his hand in everything, so his loss will definitely be felt.
Yeah. So, Arlie Ermey, we salute you, good sir. Passed away at the age of 74. We'll miss him.
Yep.
The gunner, as they called him.
Yep.
But that will wrap up the entertainment entree for now. However, don't go anywhere, because coming next, we got the non-fortune cookie odd news. I got a couple of ridiculous stories you need to hear, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The crispy noodle. Always crunching.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A group of French teenagers were arrested because they stole a circus llama from a tram ride that was supposed to go to a circus.
What?
Well, one of the five teens said they wanted to steal a zebra, but they ended up
with a llama.
Yeah.
Wow.
They said that the llama was a much friendlier animal.
These criminals nowadays, they don't have the conviction of criminals from the old days. They wanted a zebra, but they just settled for a llama. Unacceptable. They need to go back and take that zebra.
They're second-rate
thieves. They are second-rate thieves.
Go into your room of imprisonment and think about your failures.
Wow. Yeah. That was a good one. Don't ever be a cop or a judge. Go. You. Listen here. Mr. Burglar Man, you go into the room in imprisonment and you think about what you've done. And when you've thought about it, then you can come out and I will give you a popsicle because I feel bad for locking you up. Okay.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for Tura!
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We are done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree. We are rolling right along here on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, and it is time for our third and final segment of the show. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. It is time for one of my favorite segments of all time. It's the wild, the wacky, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? See? I'm doing great.
Manda de bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Past this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. what does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
Woo! Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news here in this segment. Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories, keeps them hidden from me so that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths. A brand new adventure every time. Rich, I'm ready to get started. What do you got for us?
All right. So this first story is just really weird, and I don't think we've ever really talked about this at length. Our first topic in the odd news, I can't believe this is it. We're going to talk about death.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is very ominous here.
That is very ominous.
Yes. The very first story I have for you guys here in the non-fortune cookie odd news.
God, I'm kind of worried.
Yeah. It's a little bit morbid. So okay. If you're not interested in this, you may want to fast forward a little bit. But the reason why I bring this up is because I didn't think that this was a thing. There's actually a world funeral fair.
What?
Yeah.
Wait. A world funeral fair.
Yes.
So
like a trade show for like funeral directors.
Okay. That is really creepy.
Right?
Yeah. That is when you said fair, I was picturing like like a state fair. Like right, a merry-go-round where you sit in a coffin. Oh my god, that's really macabre, isn't it?
Yeah. No, this is like a trade fair.
Okay, that's still really weird.
It is still weird, though.
Not as weird as the state fair, but still really weird.
Yeah.
So, what do they have panel discussions on, like, the best wood for coffins? What are the main events at the funeral right. fair?
So, it's held in Amsterdam.
Okay.
Which,
anything goes in Amsterdam, that makes sense.
Right, anything goes. But the... The hot topic at this year's World Funeral Fair is a controversial suicide pod that will enable occupants to kill themselves literally at the press of a button.
Oh, my God.
This got
really dark.
This is very morbid.
Wow. Would they have, a TED Talk on this?
Yeah, they have, I don't want to say demonstrations because nobody's killing themselves, but they have, you know.
All right, Billy, give us a live demo. Do I have to? Oh, my God.
So the prototype is called the Sarco, short for sarcophagus.
Okay.
It is invented.
That is way too light of a term for something where people are just offing themselves.
It's a controversial suicide pod that was invented by an Australian activist, Philip Nitschke, and Dutch designer Alexander Bannock. The person who wants to die can press the button, and the capsule is then filled with nitrogen.
Oh, my.
The, The person then feels dizzy and then loses consciousness and dies.
Wow. That's... wow.
Right?
And it makes me feel uncomfortable, honestly.
And this is the main attraction at the World Funeral Fair.
Oh, man, it sold out. The tickets were going fast.
Yeah.
That is so strange.
Right? Like, I... like,
this is okay. So this is hands down the creepiest story we've ever had.
Right. This is pretty. This is pretty up there.
That is so. This is just. This is really. I'm having a hard time wrapping my mind around this. Honestly, just picturing like the Philly Convention Center filled with like funeral directors in their black suits with their little flower and you know and.
Yeah.
It's just so very
right. It's like something that I would never think is actually a real thing. But
I guess
it has to be,
right?
Because it's an actual profession.
Right. And it's not only a profession, but there's like whole industries around this, like casket manufacturers and like all the other stuff that goes into it. Like you have to stay up to date on the science and, you know, the trends with burial preparation and you never really think about this sort of stuff until you see something like that. But I have so, so many questions about the actual convention. Do they have, like, normal convention-type stuff? Do they have, like, booths that are selling merchandise? Are there concessions? Do they have panels where they talk? Do they have, like...
They gotta have, like, concessions and stuff. You gotta eat during it.
Is it like the auto show where they have, like, the latest models of coffins on little spinning kiosk-type things?
Well, I don't know if it's spinning around, but at the funeral fair, they do have, quote, the latest trends in coffins.
Do people test drive them?
I don't know.
Do they let you sit in the coffins?
That might be your last test drive.
Do they have, like, you know, the auto show, they have those really pretty ladies, like, and this minivan will make you super popular. Like, no, it won't. But do they have really pretty ladies saying, like, this casket will make you really...
good looking when you die.
Good looking when you die? Yeah, like, do they hand out brochures? I'm just filled with questions. Like, this is, like, do they walk away with a bag of free merch and brochures?
Well,
like, it has to be like other conventions, right?
I think so.
This is so fascinating. What is it called? I'm going to look it up.
So there's displays featuring the latest coffins, such as biodegradable coffins.
Okay, that makes sense.
They also have... wait, this is actually kind of what you were saying. They actually have displays of popular funeral hearses that are available to buy.
There you go.
Including one that's a hot rod.
Oh, wow, there you go. So, I don't know why you would need a hot rod hearse, but why not?
Why not? Badass.
Yeah, go out in style.
But this is featured at the Westerkirk. I don't know if that's... it just says Westerkirk. I don't know if that's the name of the city or the name of the fair.
I don't know.
I don't know if that's the name of the city or the actual fair itself. But it actually does exist. An actual funeral trade fair is held in Amsterdam. So
that is crazy.
Right. Like, it's something you would never think of.
That never would have crossed my mind ever in 100 years.
But it is a profession. And
it is.
I guess if you are a funeral director, you need to be made aware of, you know, what's the newest coffins, I guess?
The newest
urns?
Yeah, you have to stay up to date on the trade.
Yeah.
You know?
So there you go. Something you might not have ever thought about. A world funeral fair.
I'm so amazed right now.
Yeah, right?
I can't even describe how amazed I am.
Like, when this story...
at this story.
I gotta admit, when this story crossed my feed, I was like, I don't know.
Was it one of those ones where you're like, eh?
Yeah, I usually stay away from... like I said in the 250th episode, I usually try and stay away from death stories, because I feel like it usually brings everything down.
But it's not about death.
But this... this is really about, like...
It's the industry surrounding death.
Right.
And it's interesting.
It's a full-blown... profession.
Yeah.
These people make livings off it, and they've got to treat it like it's a regular job, and that there's...
Right. It's like going to any other convention, like, for boring jobs.
Right.
You know,
doctor.
Like, doctor, right. Like,
you're saving lives. These are dealing with the aftermath.
Right. It's the circle of life right there.
Yeah. So there you go. There is a World Funeral Trade Fair held in Amsterdam. I don't think I would go so far as to endorse the suicide pod, though. But
yeah, that's a little strange.
Yeah, I think whoever invented it, they might need some, you know, just look after them.
Just let. It's like, are you okay?
Right.
Doing all
right? Right. Is he doing okay? All right. But, yeah. True story there. All right. How about we get back to some more regular odd news?
Lighthearted odd news.
Yeah, back to more of the regular programming here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Going to Washington State in this story.
Okay.
A 35-year-old Marysville, Washington man is facing charges after investigators say that he broke into a home and then created an elaborate scheme in which he was able to swindle renters out of money for staying there.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong.
So hold on, wait. He breaks in and then he creates a scheme to swindle renters out of money.
Yes. Okay. Matthew Robert Paul is facing several charges. By the way, that's three first names.
Yeah, what don't was trust... it? Matthew Robert Paul?
Yeah, don't trust anybody with three first names.
Yeah.
This doesn't sound right. It sounds like I'm saying three guys.
Right.
But this
Matthew,
is one person.
Robert, and Paul.
Right. No, this
Those
is one
are his
guy.
Multiple personalities.
Matthew Robert Paul is facing several charges, including theft and obtaining a signature by deception. Investigators say that Paul broke into a home on Hermosa Beach Road, knowing that the owners were on an extended vacation in Mexico. Paul, once he got in, then hung framed pictures of himself on the walls, replacing the other ones, lit the fireplace, and then made up checked references in an effort to appear legitimate. Police say that five people became victims of the scheme after responding to Paul's advertisement on Airbnb.
Huh.
Yeah, so you get this what's happening here?
Yeah, so he broke into a place, made it look like his own place, and then made money renting out this broken into property.
Right.
That's kind of genius.
I'm not even mad at this point.
Yeah, no, I'm not. I kind of am mad that I didn't think of it myself, honestly.
God damn it. What a shocker.
Rich, what are you doing this weekend? Going to break into some houses? That is really a genius plan.
Yeah. Police say that five people became victims of the scheme after responding to Paul's advertisement. Police say the victims paid up to, together, $5,825 to rent the home.
Wow.
He believes that the suspect found the parents' spare key and used it to break in.
Not really breaking in if you find a key.
Yeah, that's right. It's not, I guess it's not.
I mean, yeah, he's not, trespassing.
You're trespassing.
It is breaking and entering, but he's not really breaking anything.
Right.
I just wanted to make that distinction.
Yeah. The suspect told neighbors that he was a family friend who was just house sitting.
Okay.
So yeah, good cover.
There's really not much a person can do unless they follow up with the original owners.
Right. The neighbor, Evelyn Warner, said that it didn't seem strange or peculiar. He just seemed like a normal kind of guy. She said that a victim, thought he rented the home, asked about the property because the suspect was nowhere to be found. The next day, investigators knocked on the door. The police came to the back door to interview us, and everybody just shook their head and went, oh, my goodness. So, yeah, by the time the police finally got a hold of him, there's these new people that are living
right,
there.
Right.
It's already too late.
It's the perfect crime.
Yeah. According to police, Paul also had a man cash checks from the renters in exchange for drugs on the street. So okay. There you go.
Adding a few drug charges in there.
Yep. And the suspect also stole thousands of dollars of electronics from the home. So yeah, he's going to have
really,
a couple of...
Did you really need to steal, though?
I mean, yeah, right. You're already getting $5,800 right. from the rent.
Exactly. You're making plenty of money doing
in five days. This was 5 days.
That was just 5 days.
I thought that was there somewhere. I really thought, or am I making that up?
Oh my God.
I thought I remember there, I thought I remember saying 5 days somewhere. Or there's five victims.
Five victims.
Oh, five victims. I'm sorry.
But you know what, though?
I got too excited.
You know what, though? Even if it's over the course of a month, that's still really good.
Yeah.
That's like, very, that, you know, he's doing pretty good for himself.
Right.
There.
I'd like an extra $5,800 in my pocket.
Right. For doing nothing other than unlock the front door with the key you found under the mat.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Think about that. Think about the profits there. All you did was buy a couple pictures of yourself.
Made it
hang
look like
them
your
up.
Own.
Yeah.
Ta-da.
Man. Is it bad that I'm legitimately upset that I've never thought of this?
Why aren't we this smart?
I'm sitting here like, I know it's illegal, but also, oh, that's such a good idea. Who would have guessed? Like, surprise! Like, Jesus Christ! Now I'm mad at myself for thinking that this is a great idea.
Why aren't we smart?
Exactly. Why can't we be smart criminals?
Yeah.
And, you know, he probably would have got away with it if he didn't push it too far.
Yeah, if he only did it, like, once or twice.
Right. And you got to go to, like, different locations. And think about how good you could become at it if you take the chance to learn a little bit about the people living there. You know what I mean? Like, all he had to do was learn their names, and if a neighbor saw him, he's like, oh, yeah, I'm watching Bob's house for him this week.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know? Just,
I guess that's why we're now proud to offer Costanzo Rentals. Come on down to Costanzo Rentals, where the finest homes are available at a premium price. Don't mind that broken front door, though.
Yeah, just a small mishap.
Yes. Funny story, actually.
You tell a little heartwarming story about, you know, the owner and this mishap you had together. Oh, it was so funny, that anecdote.
Yep. All at Costanzo's Rentals. Call us now at 1-800-COSTANZO.
I think that actually works. No. Almost.
Almost. We'll bribe the phone company.
We'll bribe the phone. We need an extra digit.
All right, Mike's pissed off at himself.
I am. I am upset that I didn't think of this.
All right, I know we're going to get to this story. I know this will make him happier. Right, because we'll go from a smart guy to a dumb guy.
Okay, those always make me feel better.
This story takes place in China.
Okay, this should be good then.
Yep. yeah, I don't know how this happened, but it did. Doctors at a Chinese hospital said that they needed two surgeries to remove a lighter from the stomach of a man who swallowed it 20 years ago.
Wrong, 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 wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. You're wrong.
Yeah.
Wow.
First off, why?
Why swallow a lighter?
Yeah.
And secondly, after you swallow it, why are you just like, I don't need to get this checked out.
This is A-OK.
This is fine.
My body will take care of it, right?
Right. The stomach will digest lighter fluid,
right?
Of course.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just don't fart.
Just have a flamethrower ass.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Just, yeah. Whatever you do, don't fart. Yeah.
You just try to pass gas while watching TV and the whole couch goes up in flames.
My bunghole, it goes and then sometimes my bunghole goes.
Yeah, don't do it. A video recorded at a hospital in Chengdu City of the Sichuan province used a camera that was inserted into the man's body to locate the metal lighter in his stomach. This is metal.
Yes, that's not gonna dissolve.
So, did he not fly? Did he never get like the wand put
on
him?
That's true.
Shouldn't that have set off like alarms and stuff? Did he ever get an X-ray?
Maybe not. Maybe he
20
just,
years?
20 years. He didn't go anywhere. He didn't get any medical procedures done. Man.
Or is this like The Simpsons where the doctor's thumb
right,
was hiding
the thumb is always
hiding,
over.
Hiding the crayon? Yeah. This one's hiding the lighter in his stomach?
I feel like that's exactly what happened because I'm having trouble thinking of a
20 years?
Right. I'm having trouble thinking of a scenario.
You never got a single X-ray? Nothing?
Your stomach never bothered you?
Yeah.
Like you never, you just swallow a lighter and you're like, oh, well.
And just moving on.
You just go about your day for 20 years.
Yeah.
Man.
So the man told doctors he quote, accidentally swallowed the lighter.
Okay, what are you trying to do, light a cigarette and you just accidentally, what, inhale the lighter?
Yeah, I don't know how you accidentally swallowed the lighter. He said that it took place 20 years earlier. He said that he didn't seek medical attention until recently when he started having stomach aches and blood in his stool.
I have to find a new job. What will I do?
I'll get the beer knuckle knob.
There's blood in my stool.
Yeah, the old blood in the stool.
The old blood in the stool trick.
Yeah, that's a great lyric, too. Why
yes,
not?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, my God. That would be alarming. But wouldn't it also be alarming to swallow a lighter?
Apparently, that's not enough. Not until you look down in the toilet and you see blood.
Yeah. It's all A-okay until that very moment.
I have to find a new job. What will I do?
I'll get the beer knuckle knob.
There's blood in my stool.
You are so happy you get to play that clip.
I just love it because it's such an obscure reference. From
right.
Whose line is it anyway?
Right.
Blood in my stool.
Oh, my God.
Best hoedown ever.
Yeah.
Or Irish drinking song. Sorry. Irish drinking song.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
That's, yeah.
Doctors said that an initial attempt to remove the lighter was unsuccessful, but a second surgery that lasted 10 minutes ended with the device being successfully extracted. So the man's now doing fine and is A-okay.
I just don't understand how you could swallow something. Like, a lighter is, you know, it's small, but it's big enough where it's awkward to swallow and also should cause you concern that it is stuck inside your body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's... Why would you just accidentally swallow and just be like, oh, well, for 20 years.
20 years, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
got to stop swallowing things.
Well, do you feel better about yourself now?
Yeah, I've never swallowed a lighter. Okay, or who knows? Maybe I have. Maybe it was an accident. And I'll find out 20 years from now.
And you're going to be
in the audience.
When
there's blood in my stool. Oh, righty, righty.
Yeah, you know? That'll be the
I'll
the
sing
test.
About it, yeah.
When there's blood in the stool, that's when you go to the hospital.
That's when you go to the hospital. Yeah, that's good advice to live by.
That's the sign. Blood
yep.
in the stool, go to the hospital. All right, let's get to some Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Let's see. Let's do more medical weird stories here.
Okay.
A Florida woman who told deputies that she smoked drugs from a tire gauge that was stuffed in her uterus was arrested.
Hoo-ah!
Yeah.
The tire gauge was stuck in her uterus?
Yes.
Why?
Yeah.
Just why? It's just a tire gauge. Why did you need to put it up there?
Hoo-ah!
Indian River County Sheriff's deputies encountered the woman who reported puffing drugs from a pipe that was positioned in her private parts. Deputies stopped a Dodge Durango that was traveling east on 45th Street in River County. It was 10 p.m. and one of the Dodge's headlights was out. That's why the cops were there. A deputy reported smelling marijuana while approaching the vehicle. Investigators reported finding a used syringe with a clear liquid substance on the passenger, who was identified as 32-year-old Melissa K. Moneyhan.
What?
Yeah, that's her
Moneyhan?
Name. Moneyhan? Yeah, Moneyhan.
Okay.
According to the affidavit, while Moneyhan was detained, she then advised cops that she had stuffed a tire gauge up her uterus, which she used to smoke crack cocaine out of.
Hoo-ah!
Okay.
Shove it up in there.
Right. Just, this is very upsetting and alarming. And also,
why are you smoking with a tire gauge?
Yeah. Am I thinking of the right thing? Is that the thing that you put on, like, the little air nubby thing, and it like tells you how much air is in your tire? Or am I thinking of something else?
Yeah, and I guess there's a way you can smoke crack out of it.
Well, you're just not being creative enough, Rich.
Right, I don't know.
You can smoke. I
stick to traditional methods of smoking crack.
There you go, of course.
All right.
You're a traditionalist.
Yes, right?
Just... these if new fangled things that kids are doing.
Right, if it isn't
tire gauges.
If it isn't broke, don't fix it. Don't fix it, all right? For 30 years, we've been smoking crack the right way.
Yeah, why you gotta change now,
yeah,
lady? Right. Oh, my God.
At the jail, Monihan was, quote, able to remove the tire gauge from her person.
Hoo-ah!
The tire gauge had a white substance on it that tested positive for cocaine. Monihan was then arrested on charges, including possession of cocaine and possession of drug paraphernalia. So, yeah, I guess the tire gauge counted as drug paraphernalia.
Well, yeah. I mean, if that's what you use it for, then yeah.
Yeah. I just can't believe, there's always, like, every now and then, like, every, like, 3 months, just when you think it has gone away, there's always another story of woman shoving something up the old hoo-ah.
It never goes
hoo-ah!
Away. Yeah. It never goes away, Rich.
It always comes back.
It is part of our society. It will always be part of our society. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the story specifically says the uterus, right?
Specifically, yeah.
That's like all the way.
Yeah.
Inside.
Right.
It's not just in the vagina, but it's like
all the way up there.
So do they really mean the uterus?
That's what it says in the news.
Like the place that holds the little babby.
The little
it's
babby.
Like all the way up there.
I'm reading the news report. That's okay. What I'm going with.
It just seems a little excessive.
Yeah, it's really up there.
You got to dig for it. With another tire gauge.
Hoo-ah!
Yeah, that's not good when you need another instrument to get the tire gauge covered in cocaine out of there.
She wanted to make sure she didn't drop it.
Yeah, that's very important. She had her priorities straight here.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Oh, that's messed up.
All right, I got another Florida story here for you.
Okay.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Here you go. This one's... I know you like weird excuses and stuff.
Of course.
A Florida man who thought he was being chased Monday morning broke into an Ocala, Florida home and began arming himself with kitchen knives as the residents slept inside.
Oh.
What did he think he was being chased by? That he started arming himself with kitchen knives. That's great.
Deputies said that a woman who lives in the home grabbed her gun.
Oh, man.
When she heard noises coming from the living room at 2 in the morning. The woman woke to find 31-year-old Eric Russell Miller in her living room. Authorities said that Miller then ran from the home when the victim pointed her gun at him. She found that kitchen knives were found scattered throughout her home and that a stack of change was neatly arranged out on the front patio.
That's the weirdest part. Because, okay, so if you're following the narrative thread here, he thinks he's being chased. So he runs and he grabs a bunch of knives and then takes time to meticulously stack a small pile of change. Am I understanding that correctly?
I think so.
Or before.
I think before
he broke
might have
in.
Been the coins.
Okay.
So later
it
on.
It still doesn't make any sense.
So later on, the cops detained the man. They found Miller with two knives on him. He told authorities that he broke into the home because he thought, quote, boogeymen and monsters were chasing him.
No, I'm going to f***ing kill you, motherfucker, old style.
Okay.
He then said
boogeymen and monsters.
He then said that he left the change on the patio because he thought the coins were making too much noise and attracting the monsters.
Oh.
They're gonna hear.
They can hear my quarters.
No.
So, but why?
Why did I just come from an arcade?
Oh God, that's great.
That's a yes.
So it still doesn't make any sense that he thinks he's being chased by monsters,
boogeymen and monsters,
but still takes the time to stack the change? Well, wouldn't you just throw it away?
Well, he doesn't want to lose it, all right.
But how much change was it? Here's a question. How much change would it have to be for you to stop fleeing from a monster, Rich? A literal werewolf is chasing you. It can hear the change in your pocket. How much change would it have to be for you to stop running from the werewolf and stack the coins neatly?
Anything more than $4 because, you
more
know,
than $4?
I got to go back to the arcade and play some pinball. I need that. I need those quarters.
Okay. But under $4, you're not stopping.
That's
you're just throwing it out the pocket.
Those are acceptable losses.
Okay.
But anything more than that.
So $4 is the line.
That's some serious pinball money.
That is. That is.
I can't afford to lose that.
Oh, my God. How much noise were these coins making? It had to have been like a lot of coins.
Yeah, well,
just fistfuls of quarters.
He thought it was, and he said that he thought the boogeymen and the monsters could hear it as they were chasing him.
There was a bit of a nastiness last night, yes? Some very extreme nastiness, yes? Yes.
He probably just saw that movie, A Quiet Place.
Maybe,
that's
yeah.
The movie where everybody has to be quiet because the monster slash alien slash evil thing can hear
you.
Everything really well.
Maybe.
I think that's what it was.
So, once he neatly left the change on the patio, he then broke into the home, stole a bottle of water.
Well, you got to stay hydrated.
Right. Very important.
It's very important.
Gathered the knives to protect himself and removed all the night lights. So I guess the boogeyman and the monsters can also detect light.
So that doesn't make sense because now, not that I'm an expert or anything, but I thought that ghosts and monsters were afraid of the light. Isn't that what it is? Don't you remember being a kid and like turn on the light and all the bad things go away? No?
Maybe this guy is the complete opposite. I don't know.
So the monsters are... this guy's logic, not that there is any.
Yeah.
But let's pretend for a second. Let's step into his mind. Why would the monsters... Like, why would they... Why would the darkness be better for avoiding monsters?
Oh, they're sleeping. Move on.
They're sleeping.
Move along.
The monster lumbers by like, they look asleep. And they just...
I'm not going to bother them.
When has a monster ever said that? They're asleep. I'm not going to bother them.
I don't want to disturb them.
Yeah, right? That's like the opposite of what the monster under the bed was.
A very courteous monster.
I know, right? It's a shame we don't have courteous monsters like that when we were kids.
When further pressed by cops, he was unable to describe the boogeyman or the monsters that he claimed were chasing him.
No kidding.
So Miller was then arrested on a charge of armed burglary of dwelling.
I like the way that's written because it makes it seem like one is a consequence of the other. Like he couldn't describe it, so he was then arrested. Like, if he had been able to describe it...
Maybe.
He would have been like, wow, crap, well, you keep running, guy.
Yeah, why are you talking to me?
Like, really, no, read that sentence. It's like, well, he couldn't describe it, then he was arrested.
Yeah.
Right?
That was like the last straw.
Yeah.
All right, that's it.
Yeah, you can't describe it, that's it.
Yeah, come on.
Obviously, your story is fake.
Yeah, come with us. All right, I got one more story here for you.
Okay.
To wrap up the non-fortune cookie odd news.
What do you got?
And going to Mississippi... In the last story.
Okay, that's very deep south.
Yep.
This should be good.
Two women and a man are facing indecent exposure charges after the three were caught engaging in a threesome in broad daylight on the deck of a closed Mississippi restaurant, according to police.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
The owner of Triple D's Landing... In Kiln, Mississippi, called police after discovering the three people having sex on the closed eatery's deck, which overlooks a small river. So, very romantic.
They wanted the view.
Yeah, very romantic.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
In the police report, Sheriff Ricky Adam noted that the trio engaged in sexual activity, quote, this is in the police report, quote,
okay.
In the middle of the day, in broad daylight, in front of God and everybody, I'd hate I'd hate to have to tell Mama and Daddy that I got arrested for such things as this.
That was in the police report.
Yes, it is. It's what in the police report.
What is this, a 9-year-old writing it?
This is Mississippi.
Oh my God. Were they more concerned about God seeing it and not, you know, people on the street? And
oh,
where
Lord.
Oh, Lordy. And the police officer actively refers to his parents
as Mama and Daddy.
As Mama and Daddy.
Yeah. You're in the deep south.
Also, the fact that you're referencing your parents at all in the police report. What, is he writing a journal? Like, I'm so confused. Is he like, dear police report, today was a very crazy day.
You won't believe what I saw today.
I saw a man and two women going at it like rabbits on the deck of that there restaurant.
Right on that Triple D's landing.
I can say this, though. That woman did not have Triple D's. And my mama and daddy would be very upset that I had to see this there. Luckily, there was an awning, so God didn't have to watch. Love, officer, guy.
Ricky Adam.
Ricky Adam.
Another one. Like, that's like two first names shoved together.
I don't know why that frustrates me really right now, because it's two Odd News people that had multiple first names.
Yeah.
I think there's a trend here. There's a correlation.
Yeah.
That was the word I tried to think of earlier in the episode.
Everything comes around full circle.
Oh, that was amazing. I just had like a light bulb moment. Oh, my God.
Upon arriving at Triple D's, the sheriff's deputy spotted the man and the women having sex. Investigators then arrested 19-year-old Amy Hammers.
That's a poor name.
I'm just reading what the news report says.
Okay.
30-year-old Texan Brandon Mabry.
Okay.
And 26-year-old Tiffany Thibodeau. Who noted that she was from Biloxi.
Henny, Kimberly, you both can belong to the Nature Boy tonight in Biloxi. Woo!
Yeah!
Wow.
For once, I have the exact sound clip for this specific town from Ric Flair.
I'm pretty sure he's describing what happened, too.
It's Ric Flair!
Because...
Henny, Kimberly, you both belong to the Nature Boy tonight in Biloxi. Woo!
Because, well, think about it. That is actual audio, because he's talking to two women and he's one guy. And
this is actually
Biloxi. And he goes, woo, that's what you do when you have sex with two women on a balcony.
This is actually Ric Flair just 30 years ago.
Exactly. And the police report is just surfacing now.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love this story. God.
According to the police report, the three were all co-workers at ADT Security Services.
Ah. Okay. Why don't you have sex at your own work?
Yeah. Why? All right. Yeah. Wait a minute.
You went through a lot of trouble.
What? If you're really serious about getting together for a threesome, and a hotel is out of the question, and
why would I don't need
one of your three's houses is out of you can't go at somebody's houses. Why a random restaurant called Triple D's?
Were they just struck by it, like right then and there? Like, oh man, if we don't have a threesome right now, I'm just gonna lose my mind.
Right,
like
now.
They were walking down the street and they're like, we gotta go right here, right now. This closed restaurant.
Yeah, what? Like the restaurant is not where they worked. They worked
right.
At ADT Security Services.
So I'll be. So this was the middle of the day, right?
Yes. In broad daylight with Mama and Daddy. I don't want to tell them that. In front of God and everybody. As opposed to night. God's not there at night.
Right.
Everything.
Hey. God needs time to sleep too, Rich.
Everything is up for grabs at night.
That's right. God barely takes any vacation time, okay? Gotta give him the nights off. So if it's in broad daylight in the middle of the day, I have to know, were they working that day? Is this their lunch break? Did they say they were going to the restaurant?
So this is their lunch break?
Maybe if it's in the middle of the day, in the middle of broad daylight, and their coworkers.
We're going to lunch.
We're going to lunch. Like, and their coworkers are going, why do they always do air quotes when they're going to lunch?
The one girl keeps winking at me when they say this.
Yeah. They would be dumb enough to do that, though.
The trio was then booked into the Hancock County Jail on a misdemeanor charge. So, yeah, but they, man.
Just
they were,
a misdemeanor?
That's I mean, it, yeah.
I mean, they did that in front of God, though.
Right, I don't know how they got away with that. At least they were facing the river.
Okay.
I don't know.
Why does that make it better?
Yeah, they're not facing the street. I don't know.
Okay. You can only see a bunch of butts going at it.
Right. You think they're just, you know, going for a swim or something at that point.
I don't know about that.
I don't know. Anyway.
Mama, that's a weird looking swim, considering they're on land, fully nude and entangled with each other. Yeah,
it's a new team activity.
It's a new team. It's a new team workout routine.
Yes. Called the Ric Flair.
Heavy, Kimberly, you both come belong to the Nature Boy tonight in Biloxi. Woo!
Woo! Biloxi.
Oh, God.
And there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. So before we wrap this episode up, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Well, first off, I learned that cops in Mississippi write police reports like personal journals. Apparently. Referencing Mama and Daddy.
Mama and Daddy.
And God, of course. I love that. I can't envision any reason why a police report should include that type of information. But sure, go ahead, why not? It's Mississippi.
It's Mississippi.
It's Mississippi.
You do you, Mississippi.
Yeah, exactly. I also learned, though, that there are certain monsters that are very courteous, and they don't bother you if the lights are out.
Of course.
Because they think you're sleeping.
Right.
You know, and those are the types of monsters we want in this world.
The religious ones.
Yeah, the religious ones, the courteous ones, yes. Yeah. We got more monsters like that, please. But I also learned something very important medically. And Rich, of course, you were very wise to say this. You said when there's blood in the stool, you got to go to the doctors.
Yeah, that's the last straw.
That's the sign. Everything up to that point, you could swallow whatever you want. But when there's blood in the stool, that's a doctor's trip.
Yeah, yep. That's a trip to the ER.
Definitely. You know what else? I learned that I became very mad at myself for not having thought of a good crime to make money. I was very upset.
It's okay, Mike. It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, I know. I got to brush up on my crime plots.
Yep.
I didn't know I had crime plots.
Speaking of plots, I didn't know that there was funeral conventions.
Oh, yeah.
Wasn't that a transition?
Yeah, I was so confused. Speaking of plots, I lost the thread of this one.
Yes, indeed.
But yeah, that is something we learned. There is an actual World Funeral Trade Fair.
Yep. There is.
It's very macabre, but also very interesting. So definitely go check that out if you're in Amsterdam. And finally, don't trust people with multiple first names.
Yeah.
Two odd news story people had multiple odd names. Not good.
Yeah, they're up to something.
Yeah. You can't trust them. They're trying to take everybody's first names.
Yeah. They want all the first names themselves.
That's right.
And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And there you go. Another episode in the books for you. Hopefully you learned some valuable lessons, whatever they may be, on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you guys for tuning in. You never know what you're going to get on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Absolutely.
If you're interested in more on our show, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at thecrispynoodle. And follow us on Instagram as well, The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find interviews, videos, best bits, and a whole lot more. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes and Stitcher.
That's right. And we also have a SoundCloud page as well, where we have the best bits of The Crispy Noodle Podcast that we shrink down into a two-minute promo clip. We call them the mini noodles. So if you're looking for a quick laugh, check out our SoundCloud page. Search The Crispy Noodle Podcast. You'll be able to find it there.
That's right. Perfect bite-sized morsel, if you will. There's plenty of ways to get in touch with us. I'm sorry. I just had like a massive brain fart there. There's plenty of ways to get in touch
with us. Correlation there?
Yeah, a correlation there. Yes, absolutely. God, man, it's been one of those weeks. If you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, you can find me at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. Find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening.
Keep me sane by tweeting at me.
Tweet Mikey Costanzo. Let him know that you're
he's
all right.
The words that I'm forgetting.
Yeah.
He needs help. That would be useful.
That's right. I think we can tease this for next week. Next week we're going to have a special guest call in, the funny comedian Steve Hofstetter. You might know him from his videos online where he trolls hecklers that come to his show and everything like that. He's going to be coming to Philly, so before he makes his stop into Philly, he's going to call us next week. So we're looking forward to his call next week. Very exciting news for us here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But for right now, that will wrap this week's episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That's going to do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, comrade. You are receiving transmission from Mother Russia. I am here to tell you, best podcast of 2018 is going to be Crispy Noodle Podcast, okay? This is the kind of thing that tickle my ball when nothing else will tickle my ball in Siberia, okay? Crispy Noodle Podcast is best thing for 2018. You listen to Crispy Noodle Podcast. This is the show that is tickling my balls. The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2018 is you must listen, okay? Okay, yes, good. Goodbye, comrade.